Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. Two 420-foot vertical speedways, three launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 G's in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Oh, wait, I gotta press
got
this.
It. Yeah, you got it. All right, there's the sound effect, Chris. Now we're officially underway, unofficially. Because don't forget, everybody, the cold open is not actually the show yet. This is just, okay. It's like a sneak. I mean, it is the show. I mean, trust me, it's the show. People are listening. But it's not the show because it's the cold open, right, Chris?
Yeah, it's the sort of non-show before the show.
Yeah, so like whatever we say here like doesn't really count, but it does count because it's for public record, Trunks. So be careful.
Okay, I understand. I got heads up. That's like letting somebody know, hey, you're on speakerphone right now before you say it.
There you go.
Trunks in the Zoom, everybody, this time. I mean, our man who
knows what's going down.
If you guys are out there at Climate Pledge early and you're watching warm-ups, you might catch a certain podcast's theme song every once in a while.
Yeah,
in rotation. Thank you for that.
Yeah, no problem. Man. It's a great theme song. It's you guys did a really great job with it. Trust me, it's not every time someone comes up to play something, I'm not like, oh yeah, for sure. But once I heard it, I was like, oh wait, no, this actually okay, yeah, this fits for sure. Thank you.
Don't take all requests. Anybody just come up. We're not putting that out into the world right now. Just go up to Trunks and ask for anything.
Come up and ask for the Glitter album during third period from Mariah Carey.
What? That fan was from Edmonton for sure.
Had to have been.
Well, we can't even take credit for our theme song, though. It's B-Boy Fidget, Chris, who
yep.
is a friend
of
Chris's,
the show.
But also local hip-hop artist up there in Seattle. Right, Chris?
Yep. Been friends with B-Boy Fidget here for a long time now, and he's just definitely a really, really great guy up there. Like you said, local artist, but you know, has worked with artists in Atlanta and everything like that. He's yeah. doing his thing. And
oh,
and
he's going big time, man. I mean, he yeah. did the theme song for Release the Show, but also for Take 12, our Seahawks podcast. So shout out to him. Trunks, we got you here for the cold open, though, so we got to get to know you a little bit. What's your story? Where are you from originally? All that kind of stuff. But then how did you get this sweet gig with the Kraken?
Oh, man. Okay. So I'm from Atlanta, Georgia, born and raised. That's where I started out, kind of, you know, doing the high school parties and all that kind of stuff, the kind of usual DJ route. And then, I moved to LA for a while, did some clubs out there. Then eventually, you know, I was like, I'll move to Vegas because it was way cheaper to live in Vegas than
oh,
it was
yeah.
In LA. And to make a longer story shorter, basically, I went to a club in Vegas and I ended up opening for DJ Joe Green, who's the DJ for the Golden Knights.
Mm.
And we became friends. And the person that hired Joe for the Golden Knights job, you know, was looking for somebody for the Kraken. And here I am.
Yeah. See, there you go, Chris, right? Well, the Vegas did such a good job with their whole rollout and everything that they were doing. And I remember when we got a team and when the Kraken was becoming a thing and people were talking about what was going to be like the show of it and everything, everyone said, well, we hope they kind of do what Vegas did. And it seems like, Chris, what we did is we went out and stole everyone from Vegas.
Yeah. Yeah. we went out and got the whole crew
yeah.
from Vegas. Johnny, well, you know, and company, they came out and and really put on a show for us this time.
That's how it's the sincerest form of flattery, right, Chris? Like, if there was a show, like if there was a podcast about the Kraken, you know, done locally.
This is all hypothetical, funny, you're saying, right?
And it was, they didn't talk much hockey, but it was a lot of comedy, and it was really, really popular. But then and then all of a sudden another show pops up, and they try to do the same thing. It's kind of like that, huh, Chris?
Yeah, pretty much the same thing.
That's a little too behind the scenes, Trunks. We won't go into that right now.
Trunks, like, what the heck are you talking about?
The other night, Chris and I had press passes, but then we also snuck into the Verizon Lounge afterwards. I shouldn't say snuck in. Shout out to Jonas. But Trunks was in there. I mean, Trunks.
Jonas.
When you're in there in Verizon Lounge down in the bowels of the stadium where they let all the rich and famous people go after the games, I mean, you must be spinning tracks for some Seattle legends, right?
Seattle elite.
Can you can you name drop a little bit for us?
I know I've seen Marshawn Lynch in there before. Mm-hmm. He came to a Kraken game, and then they had a party down there, and so I did that. And see who else? You know, man, there's so many people that sneak in through there. I'm so focused. I can specifically remember Marshawn because I looked up and saw him kind of, you know, grooving, doing, you know, the kind of Bay Area type of stuff when I was playing it. And I got so excited, like, oh my God, everything is coming around full circle. This is the most amazing thing ever. Like my whole goal, like I was making sure everybody had a good time, but in the back of my mind, I'm just like, I want Marshawn Lynch to have the best time ever.
Hell yeah.
Man. And everybody that he's with to have the best time ever.
Well, also part owner of the Kraken too, right?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And that's kind of off the top of my head, man. That's probably I know there's other people, but you know where I'm positioned in Verizon Lounge, it's kind of hard to see everybody.
That's true.
You know, if you don't come over there to where I'm at, I might not notice exactly who's there. But
there's some deep, dark corners over there, Chris. But we have to, you know, and I said it a second ago, but really, we got to take a second and pause and just give a huge shout out to our guy, Jonas, who's just holding it down over there at Verizon Lounge, the hardest working man at Climate Pledge Arena.
Saw him everywhere on Friday night.
Everywhere.
Every corner I turned around, Jonas was there.
And still taking care of these two knuckleheads.
Yeah.
Big shout out to him. He takes care of everybody.
Trunks. Right. When you saw Marshawn, when you saw Beast Mode, right? What do you remember? What was the first song that you played, or did you change it up? Did you say, okay, Marshawn? So did you, you know, he's from the Bay.
Do you have a go-to area stuff like, for him? Like people with this right now.
You were hey, I want him to have a good time. So I don't know if you can remember. Like, okay, I'm gonna throw this jam down for Marshawn.
Yeah, it kind of. I just remembered him a video of him dancing at I think it was a Raiders game, just kind of some Bay Area stuff. Mm-hmm, so I went straight to like Tell Me When to Go. And then from there, I kind of kept it Bay Area for like the next like 10, 15 minutes.
Yeah.
and then I just kept gradually building to like, I was doing, you know, Too Short and all that kind of stuff a little bit just to keep it there. And then, you know, eventually I went to other stuff, but just wanted to make sure I saw everybody that he was with, you know, kind of vibing out and having a good time because that's important.
Oh, yeah. Well, Chris and I were there the other night, and I'll name drop a bit. We were hanging out with Hall of Famer Walter Jones. I feel like I can name drop because we tweeted a photo of it, and he didn't mind that we put that out there. So that was
his lawyers
cool.
Didn't send us anything to take it down, right?
Oh man, that was awesome. And I don't remember, Chris, I don't know if you remember either what song it was. It was something kind of old school, something a little more 90s, early 2000s. But whatever it was, Trunks, when you hit it, that Walter just stood up and immediately started dancing. And it was the only time he danced all night. I don't remember what song it was. Do you remember, Chris?
I can't remember.
That was a cool moment.
I just remember
though.
Seeing Big Walt get up and just do his thing.
That is the biggest man I have ever seen.
It's a big man.
Oh, yeah, I did. I remember seeing that. Those 2000s and that kind of stuff, the nostalgia stuff always works, man. Like, you know, that kind of, Outkast and all that. Yeah, for sure.
Hell yeah. What about the Kraken working for them as an organization and working there at Climate Pledge? Because, you know, they're only in their second year. And Chris and I have said on this show before that, you know, sometimes the crowd could use some energy in there and that's what you're there for. But now in season two and going to some games, I mean, people in Seattle, we're getting with it now. It's getting loud in there. The energy is getting ramped up, and you're a big part of that, man. I mean, talk to us about just how it feels to be in there and the sort of juice that's in there right now.
Oh, man, yeah, the energy is incredible. It feels like how it did the very beginning of season one. you know, when it was just ruckus, just yeah. all the time. Just it was the last that I've heard in a long time was our last game. And people are singing along to songs that are being played now, you know, and also I can't take all that credit because we have such a great music team. Like we have David Hatch, DJ Side, the music director who plays a lot of in-game moments. Then we have Benny Drawbars, who's on the keys all the time, wearing mm-hmm. all the fun, cool outfit. Yep.
Yeah.
He had the top hat going the other day, Monopoly guy.
He is amazing. He is incredible.
Like a monocle?
We're all talking over each other. He is incredible because he not only does the like classic organ things that you're used to hearing at an NHL hockey game, right? But he blends it with like some covers of like you were saying, like 90s stuff, some hip hop. Like you start to recognize stuff that you're like, wait a minute, is that what I think it is? And then all of a sudden he goes into dun 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 or something, you know, classic.
He's so incredible, man. Like during some of our just rehearsals and stuff like that. And when there's like a little moment of silence and you just hear him practicing stuff, you're just like, oh, wait a second, that's 50 Cent. Wait, you know? And it's just been, he did something the other day where he was playing some song, but then it went into Still Dre by Dr. Dre. And it was just so well timed. So he's been an amazing addition. So
yeah,
everybody is responsible for all that energy in there. And the crowd has just been eating everything up in the most positive way, and they're just really with it now. So it's been really fun to see.
What's up with the Sea Dirge, the song that they got going on? There's like a video package with an old fisherman. And he starts singing a song that it's like an original song written about the Kraken, and they do the words at the bottom. Is this something that they are trying to make a thing? Like, are we all supposed to learn this song?
Yeah, well, you know, it's how sea shanties roll, man. Like it's we did the sea shanty thing last year. I think it was Wellerman, and people right. were responding to it well. So I think right now it's trying to find something that sticks with the audience, something that, you know, everybody sings at every game, that becomes something that, you know, people sing at the bars even if they're not at the games.
Yeah,
you know, so it's it's a sea shanty. So I think that's definitely a goal when you try to have something like that.
I like it. I mean, I wasn't trying to knock it. I actually thought it was kind of fun, but Mrs. Davern looked at me and she was like, should we have been learning that? And I said, I think so.
Yeah. You know, it's going to take a lot of games to stick. Eventually, you know, you keep fronting the same thing out there, it's going to stick.
Look up the lyrics online, everybody. And if you go to a game, they got this video package where it's like a guy that looks like the Gordon's fisherman comes out, he sings this song while he's like riding a boat through the Montlake Cut. It's pretty cool. Chris, do you know the shanty that. Yet? You don't know it yet?
Me?
Yeah.
I don't even know what you're talking about. I don't know if I was going to get a beer or something
too
like
many,
that at that time.
Too many IPAs.
I missed that part. So
at that point, okay. All
right. I like.
What I do want to know about from Trunks is, like, I want to know sort of a day in the life, you know, game day on some level for you. Like you can take us through it if you want, but with specific respect to preparation, you know, meetings, etc., playlists, do you make your own? Are you able to audible during the game? Do you change it up? Is it all by feel sometimes based on moments? Like, what's your prep and sort of game day routine, if you will?
Well, a lot of that kind of prep for me comes before the game, even before I get there. You know, I'm at the house always trying to find new music, downloading things. Like when it comes to warm-ups, if I'm a lot of the kind of hip hop and EDM kind of our mashups and stuff like that I have to put, that I make myself some and trying to prep for that takes a lot of time at home.
Yeah.
When I get to the stadium, when I used to get to the stadium last year, I had to go to a script read where everybody sits down and goes through what the process is, what everything's going to be for that day. But now I can kind of get there a little later, which is nice. I kind of go right when rehearsal's going on, which is awesome. Like right before the food comes out too. I'm always down to be the guy that, shows up right when the food's coming. But, Right. But no. So a lot of my pregame prep is happens at home. And then when I'm at the game, yeah, I can definitely audible, like from playing the walk-in music, if I'm feeling something else. Also, depending on, you know, hey, is it Saturday? Do we have Saturday songs? Is it Friday? Oh, is it a theme night? Is it kids night? Is mm-hmm. it a Friday night? All that kind of stuff matters when it comes to pregame prep. And, you know, and during the game, like I said, like we have David and we have Benny Drawbars, and it's such a collaboration of all three of us that, you know, if if Side is on the headset, it's like, hey, Trunks, do you have this or do you have this? Then I go download it. And if I need something, then I'm hitting him up, and it's just a huge collaboration. So, and we work on that kind of stuff during rehearsal too, you know, timing of it, working our audio levels. And cause if I come in way too hot and David was coming in like down here, and it sounds different in the stadium because we're really high up. We're positioned in the press box. So sometimes it's hard to hear exactly the audio of what's going on under us to the full extent where we know how to adjust.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's a lot of pregame prep too, is making sure everybody's levels are okay, testing out songs that you have that are new to make sure like, hey, I'm not coming in too hot. Also making sure that you're not about to play something that has a curse word in it. Cause that is,
Has it been close a few times with that?
Man, you know, personally, like, I've never done it. Knock on wood, done it. There has been one time where I had something loaded up where I wasn't necessarily sure,
right?
And I knew I felt in my heart it was clean, but then when the part comes up, you're still your heart kind of like, you know. And then Bruno Mars didn't say, and I was like, okay, fine, I'm good.
Wipe the sweat away. Well, you guys all do such a great job there. I mean, you, Chet, Angelica, Strawberry, we've had all you guys on the show, and I appreciate you guys being fans of the show here, of this podcast. But then, I mean, we're just such big fans of you guys and everything you guys do at Climate Pledge. So keep on doing it. And yes, we'll keep on coming and checking it out. But I mean, speaking of pregame music, and we already talked about it, but would you care to yell out the name of your favorite pregame theme song podcast? What am I trying to say, Chris? We got to kick this thing off, Trunks.
Yeah. Release the show.
Young Fish. What's cracking? We cracking. We dipping, we diving, we sliding, we slapping. Hockey in Seattle, boy, we all about the action. Release the show. Release the show. What's cracking?
Oh, Chris.
Hey.
Oh, Trunks in the building. On Release the Show. That was awesome, man. That was awesome. We've had them all now. We've had them all from the arena.
I think we have.
Amazing.
We need to get the rest of the music team on here then.
That's true. And we finally got to get a player on here also at some point. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, we've had everybody from the Kraken. Now we need a player from the Kraken to finally step up and have the guts to face us on Release the Show, Chris. Welcome to Release the Show, everybody. I'm Brett, he's Chris. And the show is brought to you by betonline.ag.
I just hit that in here real quick.
Dude, I just hit you with it right away today. No delay. We're going right to the read, man. BetOnline.ag, the place for all of your online wagering. BetOnline continues to be your number one source for odds and news when it comes to making wagers out there. They are your number one source and go-to spot. Whether you're using the online browser or their mobile app, which of course is free, download it from any app store. It's betonline.ag. Go over there and put some money on your Kraken to make the playoffs. I think it's going to happen. The promo code is BELIEVE, spelled our way, BLEAV, and you get a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. So if you go over there and you put in $100, they're going to give you an extra $50 to do whatever you want with for free. So you turn $100 into $150. You could turn $500 into $750. You could turn $1,000 into $1,500. You could turn $1 million into $1.5 million. No, wait, I don't think they'll cover that.
And then retire.
I don't think they'll cover that, though.
Oh, they don't?
Okay. No, there's probably a limit. But either way, go check it out. BetOnline.ag. Chris.
Do we have a lot of millionaires listening to our show?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Come on now. All those Google bros and Amazon bros that have moved to Seattle? Yeah, man. Come on now.
You could just call them tech bros, and then it encompasses all of them.
Yeah. When's the last time you've been to a Kraken game, dude? I mean, come on. A lot of tech bros walking around.
Well, last Friday.
Oh, speaking of which, that's my first topic, man. Let's talk some hockey. You and I were in the building.
Yep.
As our mighty Kraken took on the mighty Connor McDavid and the Oilers, we had press passes. Big, big shout out to the whole press team and the PR people and Diaria and everybody, Nari and the whole team over there at the Kraken, because they're the best. And they let Chris and I have press passes.
Took care of us.
Which Missing Link Ryan, who usually covers the team for us, was very nervous about, Chris. I got a phone call frantic the morning that we were going to the game. He's like, all right, just listen, I got to go over some rules, and here's where you can be, and here's where you can't be, and if you take video here, and if you record audio here, and if you don't take a picture over here, and he literally said at one point, don't screw this up for me.
I don't know what he's talking about.
He was very nervous about the two of us having press passes.
What could go wrong?
And, you know, the people at the Kraken, they were not nervous at all. They accommodated us very well. We were able to get just access like you wouldn't believe. And it was so cool. And thank you to them for letting us do that. And hopefully we can do that again. Because, and I think I said to you, I see why they give those passes out, because as guys who sit around and talk about the team, you really do get a different perspective on the team when you can kind of see them behind the scenes, and when you can get on down to ice level. I mean, man, the game looks different from down there. Go for it, Chris. I know you had a good time. We had a good time. Take it away.
Oh, we had a great time. I'm assuming we shouldn't mention when you snuck out there and sat next to the team during the game and tried to interview the McKinnon sitting right next to him period.
We weren't gonna mention that. No, don't. Yeah, don't, okay, no, stop. Okay. No. And he said, well, link. It was funny too, because when I sat down, he said, you smell gin and tonic? No, that didn't happen. Chris is joking, everybody. That didn't happen.
Obviously, there would have been a stoppage in play and a security issue, and there would have been a lot more that people would have seen if that actually happened. No, man, it was so much fun. I mean, like, literally have been to many games prior, sitting up in the stands, enjoying the speed of the game, and just, well, everything from the food on down, food and drink and the whole experience, the entertainment experience, but never from that vantage point that we got on Friday. Taken over for the Missing Link as press to be down there, being able to take pictures during warmups, to be in back near the tunnel. You know, like, it's a whole nother world down there, it feels like.
Okay, well, let's tell people what happened. So we're down there walking around the bowels of the stadium. And
that's a good word for it, the bowels.
It really is down there. It's a clean place, though. Let me tell you what, that is organized.
Very clean bowels.
Wow.
Yeah.
Shout out, by the way, I wrote down a bunch of people's names. Shout out to Colin, working security down there. Shout out to Keenan, working security down there. Shout out to Keegan. Don't confuse Keenan and Keegan. I did that.
Nope.
Don't make that mistake again. Also working security. Jonas at the Verizon Lounge, who was also just like running around like a crazy person before the game. I mean, really, just one of the hardest working dudes in there. Tony, right, on the one corner of the rink. Shout out to him. I mean, just the coolest staff down there and people taking care of us, because what Chris and I found out right away is that most press members don't try to walk around down there before or during the game. Most press members just go straight to the press box and then stay there. But maybe they should go downstairs, because what you see is just, like I said, the hardest working people in show business, but then also the team and like their interaction with each other. So Chris and I are walking past the locker room, and there's what, like five minutes before the game, something like that?
Something like that.
There's two camera guys from ESPN there,
Brett,
and then a couple of security people. And we're walking past, and I think we just kind of said to the people, like, hey, can we hang out here too? And they were like, yeah, we don't care. We're like, all right. They're like, you got press passes? We're like, yes. We're like showing everybody, by the way. We're like flashing them everywhere. We're like, yeah. And they're like, yeah, hang out. So we said to the camera guys from ESPN, we're like, well, what happens? They're like, well, the team's going to come out of the locker room right here. And it wasn't the tunnel. There's like the breezeway sort of between the locker room and the tunnel. And so we stood there and waited with the two coolest camera guys ever from ESPN, Martin And
Brett.
And Brett. That's right. Another Brett who spells it correctly. And and then we got the greatest 1 minute and 30 seconds in hockey history, dude. We tweeted the video, but Tanev walks out. He starts stomping his skates. The other guys start coming out past him. They all have things that are clearly like running jokes or things that they do each time. Like McKinnon, the second he comes out, he goes,
rituals, yep.
He like barks, you know, and then you hear them all start cheering and going crazy and like jumping up and smashing into each other in the tunnel. It was such a cool moment, man, to be there for that moment in time when pro athletes were pumping themselves up to play and we're standing right there, just two chuckle houses with a podcast. It was pretty awesome, dude. That was a moment I'll never forget, you know, honestly. Like, it reminded me of my days as a young actor in like high school theater before going out onto the stage with your friends backstage and pumping each other up and stuff. You get like glimpses of it on ESPN if you watch a Seahawk game or something. You remember like Richard Sherman in the circle of the DBs and stuff like that. But to be standing there for it and to see what happens before the cameras cut to them,
yeah,
that was cool. And we tweeted the whole thing. So if you want audio of it, go listen. And I'm not sure if we were allowed to take that video or not, but go check it out till we're forced to take it down.
Well, a couple of things. One, I'm not sure if I can compare your like high school theater to professional hockey players coming out, but I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying. It's a similar level of competition there and playing field. I get it. But secondly, mm-hmm. You can't forget the smoke.
No.
That wafted in from the other side, from the tunnel, because it comes from the tunnel at that point.
Yeah.
Not from the locker room, everything like that. So you're sitting there, and you were fantastic, by the way you held that camera so steady. I mean,
well,
you,
I was resting
you have a steady
it.
Hand. Your wife must be very, very happy. No, you have such a steady hand. No,
I was resting it on one of the velvet rope stands.
Oh, I didn't see that. Gosh, I'm standing behind you. Cheater. But when that smoke wafted in and those guys are doing all that you already said, their rituals and coming out and pumping each other up, just it was such a surreal moment. That's the only word I could say. It was such a surreal moment to be there and be able to witness that. Super cool.
I can't believe we didn't get kicked out. Well, and then so then just after that, though, we make our way to the corner of the ice to shoot some really cool video. And by the time we got out there, it was 5-0.
Oh, and then that part happened.
You go from one of like the coolest moments of your life to just like, uh-oh.
Literally, we walk out to just take in some of the game, get some picks.
Man, I have video from ice level of goal number two. It happens so fast. He skates so fast. It's
didn't
faster
they say 30 miles per hour?
I mean, yeah, something like that. I think I mean, if McDavid's not going to be the greatest player to ever live, then I don't know who is. Like, I mean, I was too young for Gretzky, right? Like, I mean, I was around when Gretzky was playing, but I wasn't a hockey fan. We didn't have a team, all of the above. You know, you watch like every once in a while. So I don't, my mind's eye can't compare the two. But in person, like, he's just different than everybody else out there. And I'm not even a hockey guy.
You can see it. And he did it again. He did it again, you know, last night.
Yeah.
With that breakaway that you're just like, he's faster than you. He's got more control of the puck than you. Mm-hmm. And he just breezes by and crosses over Jonesy and puts it up in the top corner. Like, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Like, he's just different. My question to you would be is, do you think Matty B could get there? Like, I don't know. I'm not sure. Like, I mean, he is just so good, but like, he's our only shot, I think, on the team right now of like someone that could reach the levels McDavid. But
I think they're kind of different players a little bit. So I'm not sure if Matty B's game is even really what McDavid's is. I mean, McDavid is like, not only is he crazy fast, but he's also huge. He's like big. He's imposing. I don't know, man. I'm in love. I got to tell you. Look, you guys, I mean, I'm a Kraken fan through and through, but seeing him in person was just like, it was something else, man. It really
was. Is
there
a term for that when you like fall in love with your enemy or with someone who's holding you captive or something like that?
It's like Stockholm syndrome. Is that what it's
something
called?
Like, yeah. Is that what you have right now?
I think it is what I have. Oh, David. But you know what else I have? I have a fear of having to play him all the time since they're in our division. But it's going to be fun to watch. But also, it's like really scary. You know, real quick, humble brag, real quick. I've had a crazy sports year in witnessing sports live. So. Okay. I've watched McDavid play, I think now, that was my second time live and in person, I think. So he's, I mean, like we said, could be one of the greatest of all time, maybe, someday.
Yeah.
Mariners games, I watched Aaron Judge hit a couple out against the Mariners this year, unfortunately for the Mariners, but like in the midst of the season he was having, I was like, wow, this is cool to be here for some history. Also, I happened to be at the Dodgers game when Pujols hit 699 and 700.
Wow.
Yeah. Weird sports year for me this year. A lot of legends coming
weird
through.
Or absolutely fantastic.
Fantastic, yeah. Happy to be there for all of it, man.
No, anyway. That's, I mean, and you're covering multiple sports.
Feeling
right?
good, man.
Football.
Feeling blessed.
Baseball.
Dude. Happy New Year,
hockey.
By the way. Happy New Year, by the way.
Oh, thank you. Happy New Year to you as well.
Hey, this brings me to Jones versus Grubby, though, because we're talking about, so... At the game we were at, obviously, it went south fast. We ended up scoring a couple goals. There was a fight. We had fun. We hung out with Walter Jones. I mean, it was great.
Yeah, you were going to fight him. You didn't. You guys mended fences, and now you're besties.
Yeah. Yeah, there was a brewing fight between Walter Jones and I. It's a different story.
I'm glad it didn't have to come to that.
Anyway, the team goes down. They go down hard, right?
I like and you on this show, so.
It wasn't fun to be, I mean, that part of it wasn't fun, right? It was like, oh, man. Okay. We had the night we had. Everything was awesome. But then the team comes back in the next two games, and we look great. We beat the Islanders. Then we fly up there to Edmonton, and we take care of them like they took care of us. But the thing is, Chris, is that if you and to all you Kraken fans out there, you astute Kraken fans, what you'll notice the differences in those games is the starting goaltender.
Jonesy.
Which brings up a debate being raged against with Kraken fans right now. I mean, in the building, you could hear Kraken fans in the stands talking about it, especially when the first three goals went in the night we were in the building. The murmur started around the building. Yep. Should Jones be the number one and sort of, you know, starter most of the time goalie for this team? I say yes.
Yeah.
What do you say, Chris?
Well, it was even in the bowels, as you say, when we were cruising around down there, we ran into a couple people that will not be named, you know, because they work for the team and stuff like that.
Look at us being just responsible like, press members.
Yeah, no. Unnamed source, but a reliable source was like, I don't know. Maybe we should be looking at starting Jonesy. He's a winner. He's been winning at least with us. He's been having a great year.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens. And that's then when we went out 3 minutes later, 4 minutes later, and it was 4-0. And Grubby got pulled, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Jonesy came in. Well, it's, you know, they still scored some, but he did better. So it happened right in that game. Yeah. And did you hear how loud that crowd was when they made the switch?
Yeah, no, I know. The people, Jones is the people's champ for sure right now. People are wanting to see him. However, a couple nights before that, against the Flames, I was there, and Grubauer, what did he stop, like 31 shots, 41 shots?
I think 41.
41 shots, and was one of the stars of the game, even though they lost. So, you know,
he had a great game.
I think it's one of those things where they're both obviously good goaltenders and guys who I think can be starters on any team, really. And sort of, it's a good problem to have. But I think what you want is both of them, you know, obviously on fire at the same time, which they're kind of not right now. One's up, one's down, or the team wins when one's back there. And that could be a little bit of a coincidence. But if you're new to hockey, which a lot of Kraken fans are here in Seattle, you sort of just see one guy there and the team wins, and you see the other guy there and the team kind of loses. And so you just kind of want to see the guy there that is there when the team is winning. And I think it might not make sense to a hockey expert or anything out there, but to us hockey novices, it makes sense.
Yeah. That's true. I mean, it's very just, you know, cut and dry in that way. And that as someone who's relatively new to hockey, as we have tended to put out there for folks to understand, we are fans and we're covering the team, but we're learning as we go as well. You know, I might have thought that same thing of just like, oh, well, we're losing with Grew, we're winning with Jonesy. Hey, let's just put him in. There's obviously more nuance to it. And you would love for them both to just be killing it so that they're interchangeable and so that they can give each other breaks.
You got numbers for me? Let's talk some hockey.
What'd you say?
You got some numbers for me? It sounded like you were going to have numbers. I don't know.
Oh, no. I never do numbers.
You don't talk hockey on this show, boys. Keep going.
Okay.
No, I was just going to say that, you know, Grew came back from an injury. He's been out. I was just going to go less, not numbers, but more like just confidence levels, just feeling the flow and confidence levels. Sometimes that's all it takes. And you want a goalie who's just feeling it, who's on fire. And I think Grew will get there. I think Grew, given that our team is playing much better, we're scoring more goals. I mean, our defense has kind of let us down at times, but like, it's about effort. And we've seen that the last two games. We've seen them get in those corners and be roughing people up and getting the puck. So I'm not worried about Grew necessarily, but I do think we ride a little Jonesy, you know, fire right now.
Well, okay. Let me pull out an old Release the Show, an oldie but a goodie from your friends here at Release the Show. Okay.
Okay. Going to the archives?
This isn't necessarily talking hockey. This is more what we do around here, okay? I'll throw out some hockey first, and then I'll do our shtick. So, Martin Jones, let me give you some stats. We'll talk some hockey, okay?
Here we go.
All right. So, save percentage, 8.9. Grubby's save percentage, 88. So, they're right there, right? Games played for Grew, 13, 3 wins out of 13. Uh-oh. Jones, games played 26, 16 wins. All right? I mean, you know, Grubby's 3-7, Jones 16-5. Listen, I don't know if any of that matters. I think what might matter is their nicknames.
Now we're back.
But, no, for real. Just give me a second. Because if you remember when this show first started, we didn't call him Grew. Which is wrong, by the way. I think it's officially Grew B, and you're going to have a lot of people coming after you for shortening it. But so it's Grew B. We call him sort of anything around here, but what we really called him at the beginning was Lip, if you remember.
Oh, that's right.
Because it's Philip, and we were calling him Lip, and he was playing a lot better than he's been playing this season. So I suggest that we throw all the hockey talk out the window, and we just go back to calling him a ridiculous nickname because it seemed to be working back in the day.
I mean, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Good. There.
So I don't know why we fixed it. That's but let's us. Break it again. Let's break it again.
That's us talking going with hockey. Lip.
Controversy. Lip versus Jonesy. What are we doing?
Hey, I met Bowie, finally, in person.
You met Bowie.
I met Bowie.
Like, shook his hand, like, had a like, you know, quick conversation, long conversation. What was this interaction? How'd you meet Bowie? When'd you meet Bowie?
So at the Flames game, I took my kids. So I was not working the game. I was just there as a true Blue fan. And okay. We went down to the glass for warm-ups. And if you get there early and if you're cool and if you don't, you know, be a jerk about it, they'll let you, especially if, and only listen to me, all you adults out there. This is for the kids. Okay, so if you really have kids, take your kids down to the glass. If you're a full-blown adult, like maybe stand 2-3 rows back from the glass. Let the kids down to the glass. There's nothing worse than seeing these full-blown adults standing at the glass like begging for pucks and stuff like that while a 4-year-old can't get down there. All right? So another public service announcement. But also, just if you have kids and you go early, take them down to the glass. It's really fun. And the guys rip the pucks and it hits the glass and the kids freak out. It's awesome. So I did that with my kids.
Okay.
And lo and behold, as we're standing there, here comes Bowie down the aisle. It's my first chance to meet him in person. And I rip off my hoodie instantly. And I'm wearing my Release the Show Bowie Backer t-shirt. And I run over to him.
Hell yeah, you
And
are.
I knock over a couple 4-year-olds on the way because that's the kind of guy I am. I'm not down there asking for pucks,
PSA
Chris.
Out the window.
I'm not down there asking for pucks. I'm down there trying to hug Bowie. It's different. I walk over and I get close enough and I just kind of turn around and like points at my back. And then I turn back around and Bowie says, well, he doesn't say anything because he's a mascot, but you know, yeah. It's radio, so I can't pantomime it. But Bowie in mascot language does the like hands and like the like, oh, wow, oh my goodness. And like kind of freaks out about the t-shirt, comes over, we hug it out, we take a bunch of pictures, we high five, we do a little dance, and Bowie is awesome. And I told you so.
You know, I would expect nothing less from a hashtag Bowie backer. Did he show you his tattoo? I mean, how personal did you guys get?
The hug was nice. And okay. A beat and a half longer than it should have been, which let me know that we are real friends.
Okay. And now I wouldn't assume trolls necessarily smell great. Did he smell okay? I mean, with this embrace?
Yeah. No, fine. It was like a musky, you know, like underwatery, like been under a bridge, you know, kind of a thing.
Okay. So pretty standard.
But good. Like troll-ish. In a good way. Yeah. Yeah. The Fremont Bridge. So it's fine.
Okay. Okay.
I don't know. Yeah. No, it was great.
Did you allow any hugging with your son? Did your son get to talk to Bowie at all? Or did you hog all of Bowie's time?
They high-fived him. Okay. My daughter was over crying. She's not a fan of the mascots.
She's not a Bowie fan.
And I looked at Bowie and I said, it's not personal. She does this to Chuck E. Cheese too.
Oh.
She does. It's true.
Yeah. And then one of Bowie's handlers was like, don't mention Chuck E. Cheese because they're rivals. I said, okay, sure, fine.
That could have been a disaster for you and your family.
But my son was high-fiving Bowie and loves Bowie. And what's funny is after we left actual Bowie and went upstairs, my daughter wanted the Bowie stuffed animal that they sell there. Stuffy, you know. And so she's in love with Bowie too. And if any of you out there hate Bowie, what you have to realize is that Bowie is for the kids. And me.
Yeah. Yes.
So that's what he's there for. Hey, speaking of the kids, Chris, last thing before we get out of here, unless you got something else, is I met our youngest fan, and I just want to give him a quick shout out. His name is Jack, and he's 4 years old. And I met him and his dad, Chris, and you met them as well, Chris.
Yep.
And it was funny because I said, oh, yeah, we do a podcast about the Kraken. And, the dad was like, wait, which one? I said, release the show. And he goes, oh, wait a second. I thought I recognized you guys and your voices and everything. And he goes, that's Jack's favorite podcast. And he pointed to the 4-year-old.
We're killing it in preschools around Seattle.
Well, what did he say, Chris? He said when they get in the car, like Jack wants to listen to the show. What did he say with the guys who won't stop talking about about not hockey.
Those guys are great.
See, you don't have to be an adult to get it.
And he was so cute. He was so shy and kind of embarrassed and kind of ran away and then ran back and ran away and ran back. You know, because he was like, these are my idols. These are who I look up to.
Well, and
Brett
also
and Chris from Release the Show.
Yeah, Brett could start ranting at any time too. So that gets scary for the kids. They never know.
Well, I don't have anything other than that's amazing to know that our fan base can go anywhere from 90 years old all the way down to 4 years old. Other than we should probably throw out some info about Epic Seats and just say, hey, we love Epic Seats and we've got another ticket giveaway. I believe for the January 19th game against the New Jersey Devils at 7 p.m.
Oh, the New Jersey Devils.
Yeah. Given 2 free tickets to every homestand. So just got to use the promo code TAKE12 for 12% off when you spend $100. Or if you're selling tickets, use Epic Seats. You can use the promo code to get an extra $12 bonus for each ticket you sell.
Wait, hold on. We got to pause right there. Wait, hold on. Let me pause you right there. We got to emphasize that. Because we got people listening that are Kraken season ticket holders, and you can't make it to every game, right? I mean, who can these days with your schedule and your mother-in-law in town or whatever? I mean,
ice on the streets, you know?
Yeah, geez. So you look to sell your seats. And when you sell your seats with EpicSeats.com and you mention Take 12, you get an extra $12 per ticket, Chris. So if you got 2 seats, that's an extra $24 in your pocket.
Yep.
Just for mentioning a silly podcast? Hello.
That's easy money.
Come on now. Who doesn't like free money? You're welcome, everybody. EpicSeats.com. Sorry, Chris. Go ahead. Sorry.
Do they need to for this giveaway on the 19th, do they need to email us? Is that what they do?
Yes.
So they're going to email us at releasetheshow@gmail.com.
And
releasetheshow@gmail.com. And do they need a code word, a password, or something like that?
They're supposed to give us the phrase that pays, which I can't remember from last episode. So I don't know what that was inaudible. That was in the documentary. It'll just say inaudible. So just email us and say Brett can't remember the thing.
That's a good
That'll
one.
Work too. Yeah. Just email us and tell us you want tickets. We'll put your name in the hat and you could win some tickets. I mean, come on, you know. It's not hockey science.
Yeah. You could just email us and just say, give me the dang tickets. But I like Brett can't remember the thing. If you can remember to say Brett can't remember the thing, we'll remember to put your name in to get you these tickets.
Yeah. EpicSeats.com, everybody. That was the show today. The Kraken coming up. Let's see here real quick.
Long road stretch, baby.
Yeah, man. They're going to the East Coast, man. East Coast. So they got Toronto, Ottawa, Montreal, Buffalo, probably before we talk again, dear friends. So,
yep.
Two and
two
on this last one.
Five against the Atlantic.
Come on now. Let's get back to these the ways of three out of four. Come on now, at least.
They got their ass whooped, and they're like, hey, we need to act right, you know? Mm. Daddy McDavid put it on them, and they're like, okay, we get it. So now they've done well two in a row. Let's keep it going. Let's do a three or four out of five, etc., and bring it home.
They like going on the road, too. No predictions, but...
And that last one is Chicago, so we should be able to take care of them.
Oh, come on now. Did you really do that?
What?
No, just listen. Just say your thing so we can get out of here.
Oh, okay. See ya.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. Two 420-foot vertical speedways, three launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Roger that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 Gs in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch stratacoaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
Dogs are an important part of our lives, and keeping them protected is a top priority, especially against nasty parasites. That's why you gotta check out NexGard Plus, afoxolaner, moxidectin, and pyrantel chewable tablets. NexGard Plus chews provide one-and-done monthly protection that kills fleas and ticks, prevents heartworm disease, plus it treats and controls roundworms and hookworms. That's a whole lot of protection packed into a delicious beef-flavored, soft chew designed to make monthly dosing easy and enjoyable. So the next time you're at the vet, ask about NexGard Plus Chews. They're the one-and-done monthly parasite protection you want for your dog. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurologic disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventive.